upholding scientific research and discovery in respect, as we should, we must also be alert to the equal and opposite danger that public policy could itself become the captain of a scientific, technological elite.
We've signed a climate convention on the importance of economic instruments and free markets. We're included in this mammoth Agenda 21 document and the Rio Declaration. Now, let me be clear on one fundamental point. The United States fully intends to be the world's preeminent leader in protecting the global environment.
Coming up, Technocracy News. And you are listening to Technocracy News and Trends. This is Patrick Wood, Editor-in-Chief of Technocracy News and Trends. Our first story today is a little bit confusing and a little bit a disappointment. It's titled, Grand Rapids Nullifies FCC and State Compliance on 5G. This isn't a news story, but whatever a reader has sent me, it appeared to be that the Grand Rapids, Michigan City Council had defeated an ordinance that would have complied with the FCC's ruling on the city staying out of the 5G rollout negotiations. And they did, in fact, at one point, defeat an ordinance by a vote of 3-3. In other words, it was not unanimous, and there was no tiebreaker. And so the ordinance failed, and the state was defied, and the FCC was defied. And I'm sure there was a lot of happy protesters that were there to appeal to their city council to protect the citizens of Grand Rapids from the negative effects of 5G radiation, the decline of property values that inevitably come with it, and other things. However, just a few days later, the ordinance was brought before the city council again. As they say, if at first you don't succeed, try again. So when they had more council persons at the meeting, including a tiebreaker apparently, they voted again. And they knuckled under to the FCC and the state of Michigan. I guess we shouldn't be too surprised. Technocrats will not take no for an answer. I wrote at the head of this, it's possible for cities to resist federal overreach, especially when 5G presents serious citizen safety issues. Grand Rapids, Michigan barely scraped by a vote of 3-3, but it was a victory for city sovereignty. It's too bad it only lasted for just a few days. I then added a special note 1 week later, City Council took another vote and overturned their previous vote, having caved to threaten legal pressure from the state and the FCC. Whether lack of backbone or lack of funds to fight back, the result was the same. Failure to protect citizens first. This is definitely a shame to the city of Grand Rapids, Michigan. But it may not be horribly surprising that this particular City Council would do such a thing. Mayor Rosalind Bliss, back in early June of 2017, was one of a group of 256 renegade mayors who pledged to uphold the Paris Climate Agreement. I wrote in that article, cities are taking unconstitutional measures to circumvent international trade agreement requirements by defying President Trump on pulling out of the Paris Climate Agreement. Is your city on the list? Take action while you still can. Well, indeed, there were 256 signatories to that little event. And the mayor of Grand Rapids was in attendance and on that very list. Now, 5G doesn't have anything directly to do with climate change, of course, but both are globalist programs and both have the same mindset. The second story for Technocracy News and Trends today is titled BCI. That stands for Brain-Computer Interface, by the way. It's a common acronym now used in high-tech circles. BCI, the final frontier of mind-reading tech, is very close. I wrote on this, the technocrats are pushing hard to penetrate your mind to read your thoughts. Brain-computer interfaces, or BCI, coupled with AI, will have huge corporate demand, and you risk losing all privacy. The article states, social media companies can already use online data to make reliable guesses about pregnancy or suicide ideation, but new BCI technology will push this even further. It's raining on your walk to the station after work, but you don't have an umbrella. Out of the corner of your eye, you see a rain jacket in the shop window. You think to yourself, a rain jacket like that would be perfect for weather like this. Later, as you're scrolling on Instagram on the train, you see a similar looking jacket and you take a closer look. Actually, it's exactly the same one. And it's a sponsored post. You feel a sudden wave of paranoia. Did you say something out loud about the jacket? Had Instagram somehow read your mind? While social media's algorithms sometimes appear to know us in ways that almost feel telepathic, ultimately their insights are the result of a triangulation of millions of recorded externalized online actions, clicks, searches, likes, conversations, purchases, and so on. This is life under surveillance capitalism. As powerful as the recommendation algorithms have become, we still assume that our innermost dialogue is internal, unless otherwise disclosed. But recent advances in brain-computer interface, or BCI technology, which integrates cognitive activity with a computer, might challenge this. In the past year, researchers have demonstrated that it is possible to translate directly from your brain activity into synthetic speech or text by recording and decoding a person's neural signals using sophisticated AI algorithms. While such technology offers a promising horizon for those suffering from neurological conditions that affect speech, this research is also being followed closely and occasionally funded by technology companies like Facebook. A shift to brain-computer interfaces, they propose, will offer a revolutionary way to communicate with our machines and with each other, a direct line between mind and device. But will the price we pay for these cognitive devices be an incursion into our last bastion of real privacy? Are we ready to surrender our cognitive ability for more streamlined online services and better targeted ads? A BCI is a device that allows for direct communication between the brain and a machine. Foundational to this technology is the ability to decode neural signals that arise in the brain into commands that can be recognized by the machine. Because neural signals in the brain are often noisy, decoding is extremely difficult. While the past two decades have seen some successes decoding sensory motor signals into computational commands, allowing for impressive feats like moving a cursor across the screen with the mind or manipulating a robotic arm, brain activity associated with other forms of cognition like speech have remained too complex to decode. But advances in deep learning, an AI technique that mimics the brain's ability to learn from experience, is changing what's possible. In January of this year, a research team at the University of California, San Francisco, published results of a successful attempt at translating neural activity into speech via a deep learning-powered BCI. The team placed small electronic arrays directly on the brains of five people and recorded their brain activity, as well as the movement of their jaws, mouths, and tongues as they read out loud from children's books. This data was then used to train two algorithms. One learned how the brain signals instructed the facial muscles to move. The other learned how these facial movements became audible speech. Once the algorithms were trained, the participants were again asked to read out loud from the children's books, this time merely miming the words. Using only data collected from neural activity, the algorithmic systems could decipher what was being said and produce intelligible synthetic versions of the mimed sentences. So it's coming, my friends. The technology is marching forward, and technocrats will stop at nothing, I expect, before they can actually read a person's minds and his most intimate thoughts therein. This is not a technology that society wants to have unleashed upon itself. This technology will undoubtedly be used by megacorporations to determine what you're thinking, but worse, it could well be used, of course, by government entities, like in China, to determine whether or not you're really telling the truth. Well, you don't need a truthometer for that. Just hook this baby up, and your thoughts will just automatically appear on the screen. Well, I don't know what we can do about it, but the technocrats are hard at work here. The last story was a story of passion on my part because it provided a very useful link to the Trilateral Commission. The title of the story is Goals Become Clear as Trilateral Commission-linked think tank bashes Brazil's President Jair Bolsonaro. This report was produced by the Peterson Institute for International Economics. I'll read you the story. It's not too long, and then explain it a bit more. I wrote, the Peterson Institute for International Economics, PIIE, released a new policy brief titled, The Amazon is a Carbon Bomb. How can Brazil and the world work together to avoid setting it off? The paper demonizes newly elected President Jair Bolsonaro for being the cause of the destruction of the Amazon, which it considers a part of the global commons. The first paragraph sets the tone. Quote, global warming is widely and correctly blamed for wildfires around the world, but the Amazon fires in Brazil represent a specific government policy failure over many years, especially recently, as Brazilian public agencies that are supposed to curb man-made fires have been deliberately weakened. Fires are set by farmers, cattle owners, and others every year to clear land, but they have risen in number and severity in 2019 since President Jair Bolsonaro took office on January 1 and set about fulfilling his campaign pledge to ease environmental, land use, and health regulations. The Peterson Institute was founded by the late Peter G. Peterson, who passed in 2018, also a founding member of the elitist Trilateral Commission in 1973, along with David Rockefeller and Zbigniew Brzezinski. Today, Peterson Institute's board of directors include a swarm of current and former members of the commission, including C. Fred Bergston, Lawrence Summers, Richard Cooper, Stanley Fisher, Robert Zoellick, Alan Greenspan, Carla A. Hills, George Shultz, Paul Volcker, among others. In short, the Peterson Institute is run by the cream of the global elite. The Trilateral Commission set out in 1973 to create a new international economic order. After reforming the systems of global trade and finance by capturing the executive branch of the U.S. government, Trilateral Gro Harlem Brundtland provided the intellectual fodder for the creation of sustainable development and Agenda 21 that was adopted by the United Nations in 1992 in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. Although it is easy to look at the United Nations as a source of demonization of populist leaders like Brazil's Bolsonaro and America's Donald Trump, few people see the real puppet masters behind the UN. Peterson Institute has played its trilateral hand, however, pushing the exact policies that it pushed onto the UN in the first place. Quote from the article, the fires in Brazil are a classic case of what sociologists call the, quote, tragedy of the commons, what happens when shared resources are exploited by users pursuing their own livelihoods at the expense of the common good. The concept of global commons means that the Amazon rainforest does not really belong to Brazil, but rather to the whole world. Thus, Brazil is not free to manage its own resources like other nations, but rather must submit to management by the global elite. No matter that the rainforest represents 60% of Brazil's total landmass. Laying out the problem in true hysterical form, Peterson Institute states, quote, scientists, NGOs, and environmental activists oppose Bolsonaro's policies, warning that they could set the stage for disaster, close quote. The immediate answer provides that, quote, societies know how to deal with this problem through collective action and government regulation, close quote. After thoroughly bashing Bolsonaro, Peterson Institute's paper patronizingly concludes, quote, although the Amazon fire should be condemned, it's time for the international community to leave aside its justified grievances with the Bolsonaro administration and cooperate on a strategy to provide the resources to conserve and develop the planet's largest continuous rainforest, close quote. In other words, the international community should ignore Bolsonaro and pile on Brazil to deprive it of 60% of its sovereign landmass. If the intent of the Peterson Institute and the Trilateral Commission is not yet apparent to the reader, let me be clear. The object of the new international economic order is and always was to sequester all significant resources of the world into a, quote, global commons managed by them under the banner of the common good. As Trilateral Brundtland defined sustainable development in Our Common Future, it is, quote, the kind of development that meets the needs of the present without compromising the ability of future generations to meet their own needs, close quote. They have convinced the citizens of the world that they are the only benevolent and qualified people to protect us from our supposed selfishness and irresponsibility. Oh, and by the way, they will be sure to save some of those resources for your children and grandchildren as well. In any other age of history, this would be called what it is, a scam. And as Paul Harvey used to say, I hope now you know the rest of the story. The Peterson Institute, over the years, has always proffered trilateral commission policy to the world. It is literally a policy think tank. It has always spoken authoritatively for the Trilateral Commission and for its members. And it's no wonder, considering how many of its board members are actually members of the Trilateral Commission. So now, the cover of the Trilateral Commission has been pretty clearly demonstrated by the fact that Peterson Institute let this cat out of the bag. And I would hope that more journalists would do a little bit more investigative homework on issues like this before they run off in hysteria, demonizing important leaders of the free world. I'm Patrick Wood for Technocracy News and Trends. We'll see you next time.